We made this. Again, Tim.
Hi, Paul.
Did you notice after last week's episode, someone said that it was like an episode of Watchdog? Hello, and welcome to Watchdog. On this week's episode, Linfold's Wood is at Pontypool Market looking for bootlegs.
And Ainsley Harriet goes behind the scenes at Discogs and learns how to remove unwarranted negative feedback.
All this and more on Watchdog.
Yeah, that's enough of that, Paul.
Yeah. Welcome to We Buy Records, everyone. Loads to get through this week, Tim. Shall we crack on with the news?
Why not? I think you've got the first bit of news. It's a pretty succinct bit of news, yours.
It is, Tim. I mean, you know the Discogs has their most wanted.
I do.
And they have an all-time list. So the current, as it stands, I think number one is Daft Punk, their album. And the number two is actually a 12-inch single, Stardust. With Music Sounds Better With You.
Which I believe is still a Daft Punk production, or
yeah,
one half
is.
Of
yeah,
Daft
one
Punk.
Half of them. And
fantastic, fantastic single.
One I know that you've been after for quite a while and still haven't found a copy,
yeah,
is that
about
right?
5 or 6 years, yeah.
Quite sought after. Yeah. There's about 10,000 people have it on their want list. It's, you know, really sought after. But finally, it's getting a digital release. And also being reissued on June the 28th. So if you've been after one for a while, as 10,000 people on Discogs seem to have been...
Will the reissue be any cheaper than what you can get it for on Discogs?
It's not massively expensive, to be fair. It's only sort of 20, 25 quid, isn't it?
So I guess the reissue will be cheaper than that.
But will it be a one-sided etched thing? I'm hoping not, because there are other remixes, so we'll have to wait and see what they release.
I don't think anybody wants the remixes, do they?
Yes.
All right, you do. Only you want... Yeah. Everyone just wants the regular track. You want the stupid Doof Doof remixes of it.
So what have you got for news, Tim?
Well, my news is all about Miley Cyrus, Paul. I can see from your face that you're a fan.
Huge, huge fan.
Her new EP is now available as a Rubber Johnny.
Oh, lovely.
According...
That coming.
I know. So one of the fun things about this podcast, listeners, is that we don't always tell the other person what we're going to be talking about, so that some things can come as an amusing surprise. So according to... Do you want to know that what the full story is?
Please.
I mean, because we could just leave it there.
Can you please never say Rubber Johnny again,
oh,
Tim?
Right.
Please.
All right, I'll call it by its proper name. According to musicnews.com... The black condom wrappers are embellished with the words "She is coming" in white alongside a fake telephone number, 1-833 She is MC. And with each $20 purchase of the condom, fans will also receive a digital download of her new 6-track release.
So you get
it's being released as a condom.
Genius.
We have already had this kind of thing before. We've had bands selling albums in the form of a T-shirt.
Right.
For a little while, when the technology was... This is quite a while back, and I thought it was quite exciting, and then it just stopped. Bands were releasing things as pin badges.
Right.
So it was a little badge that you'd wear with a headphone jack. It was basically when, solid state memory...
Yep.
Could fit on a badge and wasn't too expensive, they were like, wow, this could be it. And there was a little flurry of, I think, of albums released as a one-off badge, and you just get the badge, you sort of press the face of it, it plays the album. Which is kind of cool. Like, isn't
not okay. The closest I came to have anything like that, it wasn't music, it was the TV show, the Danish hit show, Clown. They right. released every episode on a USB shaped like a cock.
Really?
Yeah. A little cock. You plug your little cock into your computer and you can watch Clown.
You strongly recommend Clown, don't you?
Yeah, brilliant. My favourite comedy film of all time and probably my favourite TV show of all time.
And it's Clown with a K. So if people are searching for it, I was going to throw this to you. If you've got any ideas for future releases that, that bands could do on unusual formats, I can. Well, I'll start us off. I wondered if maybe Sleaford Mods could release their next album in the form of one soiled trainer on top of a bus stop.
Right.
It's a fun segment.
I know that a friend and musician, James Yule, has made music out of unusual items. He did a MIDI acorn, and if you go onto YouTube...
So that sounds good. What?
Yeah,
what?
And you can search for the MIDI orange as well, where he makes music from an orange.
As in a real orange?
A real orange.
And a real acorn.
And a real acorn.
Yeah, that's very good.
Very good.
Yeah, I like that. He's ahead of us. I wondered if Madonna's next single could possibly be a book on the history of the conflict between Israel and Palestine.
Ooh, controversial. See what you've done there.
It's a frivolous section.
Did I mention I got Madonna tickets, Tim?
Yes, you did. Good
military
seats.
Precision to get those for a... Like cheap seats, effectively.
What, only £700?
I wouldn't have paid anywhere near that for tickets. Yeah, the most of the tickets were really expensive, so you had to be bang on it. I picked a day in the middle of the week near the end of the run, so I thought it'd be less popular, and that was your best chance of getting an affordable ticket, and it worked.
Brilliant. And you were there presumably before they. You were on the laptop before they
everything
opened.
Logged in, codes all ready. There was a right palaver just to even to be able to get on to apply. You had to have your account verified, then you had to have multiple codes. It was a real precision operation, but it worked.
Well, to be fair to her, at least she didn't do what a lot of pop people are doing now, where in order to even get a chance to buy a gig ticket, you have to buy loads of their merch and releases, which effectively gives you points, which you then leverage into the chance to maybe buy a ticket.
Yeah.
Which I think is really disgusting. So fair play, Madonna, for not doing that.
So, Tim, I remember you said you didn't want to talk about cleaning records ever again. And I guess technically we're not.
Yeah, you found a loophole.
Yes. Now, I posted a picture on Twitter recently. I was in a charity shop in Hastings before coming to see you, and I picked up a very, very grotty George Michael 12-inch
with
a
disgusting
white cover. How bad? I mean, it was bad, wasn't it?
It was really bad. It was the worst that you'd see of a white-coloured record. You don't really get them looking more grubby than that, and like loads of ring wear and just stained and horrible. Yeah, it was not good.
However, 5 minutes in your care, and it was completely clean.
Yeah. Do you want to know what the secret is?
Please.
The secret is Statler brand Mars plastic erasers.
Ooh.
Now, I've been through lots of erasers to clean record sleeves. This is the one. And I don't even know why. It just is.
Is it almost like putty or something?
So when you rub something out with it, you'd sometimes with rubbers you get lots of little particles. With this one, you get sort of rubbery blobs instead of that smaller bits of stuff which so is clearly whatever it's made out of. It's a little bit different to some rubbers out there, and it's bloody good.
Where do you get one of these from?
Well, they're easy to spot because they're in a little blue and white sheath, a little card sheath thing.
You said rubber Johnny and sheath now.
I was hoping that we could just gloss over that. I saw a little expression danced across your face when I said sheath, and I thought, oh, he's not going to, come on. And then you did. I'm trying to think, because they're not everywhere, but I would assume...
Amazon, I just assumed you ordered them on Amazon.
Yeah, basically because I've ordered six of them on the internet for really not very much money.
What was the brand again?
Well, it's Stettler, or Stadler. It's a German brand, Staedtler, which I think is pronounced Stettler. And they are the ones I recommend. There's a few things to note. Unfortunately, just doesn't work on matte sleeves at all.
Okay.
Well, actually, no. Okay. Ring wear and grime will work a tiny bit, but getting off pen won't, whereas you can get pen off with these rubbers on a glossy sleeve. With a matte sleeve, you are effectively rubbing off the top layer of print. So if you've got a burning desire to get rid of some muck or grime or pen, and you
so hang on, when you say pen, you can get biro off with
yes,
this?
You can
no.
Get, even, you know, if someone's written on biro and it's really like dug into the record, and you know, it's all kind of a deep groove biro thing. You can get all of that off, but it has to be a laminate or glossy cover, which most records are, just not all records are. And if it's matte, tough. So otherwise, if it's matte, what you're going to do is you're going to basically grind off the top layer of print. And if you don't mind doing that, if for some reason you'd rather obliterate the muck but kind of fade out that bit of print, then go ahead. But if you've got a glossy sleeve, you're in luck.
Brilliant. So if anyone does have any success, please do tweet us in some before and afters. Yeah, please do.
Yeah, before and after is very good. Yeah, it works for fingerprints, ringwear, biro, marker pens. Don't rub too hard, or you still can, with certain types of finish, what you might think is a kind of laminate glossy top might actually still be a kind of print finish, and you can fade out the print. So there's never a need to go hard, but this is the eraser.
Tim, I guess we call this a segment, and this was very specifically requested by Simon Galloway, host of Charity Shop Classics, which is on All FM Sunday mornings at 11. He wants to know the kind of the pros and cons of eBay versus Discogs. I'm guessing from a buying and selling point of view, do you have a preference?
My preference is Discogs, but that isn't because you get the best prices on Discogs.
No.
So it's a weird one. It looks like consistently across the board, stuff sells for more money on eBay.
Yeah, I mean, you can deliver detailed information about it, supply your own photographs, which you pretty much have to do, and that does increase your chance of getting, you know, a better price.
But it also, because unlike Discogs, eBay doesn't group everything of the same item together. So, for example, on Discogs, if you want to sell Madonna Erotica, you find Madonna Erotica, you find your particular variant, and you list it for sale. On eBay, you're kind of pissing in the wind of the records bit of eBay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all these disparate listings, some of which may forget to put the word Madonna in the title, some of which might spell her wrong. So in terms of listing something to and it being found easily, Discogs is way, 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 way up there compared to eBay.
Yeah.
So it's just, it they are so different. They are so incredibly different.
I mean, if you had to say, you know, definitely use eBay for anything unusual, anything signed, absolutely imperative that you don't list it on Discogs because it just won't be found.
It'll get lost among the most expensive items. Nobody will look at it.
Yeah.
If you've got any kind of ephemera connected with it, so let's say you've got a record and some press cuttings from the time, something like that, which it doesn't necessarily add a big tangible value, but that is exactly what you want to put on eBay and not Discogs.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, I had a U2 album, but it came with like a poster and a gig ticket. Perfect. Do you see what I mean? That we won't add a lot to it, but it will add something.
It just adds, you know, what's that thing that estate agents call it? Curb appeal.
Oh.
If a house has got curb appeal, it just means that just from, without going into any kind of detail, just that first kind of investigation of it is good, is positive. So if you've got something which you think has got added curb appeal, then eBay is the place for it.
And for popular artists, you do get a higher price.
Well, we have cocky people come into the shop every now and then, and they look at our £5 classics section, where you'll find things like
Shawaddy Waddy's greatest hits.
No,
James Last.
No, no, Paul.
No, I'm joking.
No, you'll find Tears for Fears, Madonna,
Japan?
Yeah, maybe Japan, Talking Heads, Michael Jackson, Tubular Bells, Genesis, maybe some Bruce Springsteen.
Popular artists that dads like.
Yeah, all right. And people will sometimes come into the shop and say, I've sold those for more than a tenner on eBay. And my response to them normally is, well, why don't you buy these off us then and go and put them on eBay and sell them for this money? And they go, but then I look and it turns out it is true. Stuff can go for too much money on eBay. If it's relatively well listed and well photographed and well described through the grading is there, it's a weird one. And yet Discogs I favour all day, every day. What about you, Paul?
Well, it's a strange one, isn't it? A friend of mine James Mullinger, he used to buy transparencies and pictures of Alan Rickman, right, from charity shops and stuff, or wherever he got them, from press cuttings. And he found out, this is back when eBay, back in its infancy, and he paid for all of his time through college by listing these Alan Rickman transparencies, and two mad people would bid on them, and he was making hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I'm telling you. True story. Yeah, true. Yeah. You only need two mad people.
Mentally ill people.
Yes. Yeah. Alan, that's my only Alan Rickman story. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah, you've just stopped my train of thought completely because that...
you didn't see that coming,
no,
did
I
you?
Didn't.
Sorry.
Well, this is as a kind of sub conversation is obviously auctions versus buy it now. And Discogs is basically a buy it now website. You know, you can allow offers, but it's basically a buy it now website, which means what you don't get is the crazies going mad outbidding each other.
Yeah.
So if you've got what you think is a bit of a hot item that has a lot of fans that all kind of fancy it, yeah, eBay is the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely popular artists, you know, say Madonna, for example, somebody, you know, knows their daughter collects Madonna, they're going to go on eBay, find them something collectible or rare. They're not going on Discogs for that. Equally, they're not going to be looking for obscure techno records. You need to head over to Discogs for those.
I kind of dislike eBay because it's such a mess and because it seems like a wild west.
The myriad of stuff, just to, like, the postage ops, and it tries to force you to use eBay shipping, which is outrageously expensive.
Well, I've sometimes looked at things in America and it said, like, the shipping is like $35 or something like that. And I've messaged the person and said, hi, I've just looked on some shipping websites for options. And it looks like the shipping should actually only be about sort of $12 or $15, and their response every time is just, oh, I just use eBay's
shipping service, global shipping program, absolute nightmare. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, some good things about Discogs though, it's quick and easy to list stuff. You don't have to take any photos.
I would even say that is probably the number one reason why, yeah, I would use it to sell on.
Yeah,
it's just the speed. Yeah, it's the difference is night and day between that and eBay.
Yeah, you need to grade it correctly though, because you know these are record people.
They're nerds, Paul, aren't they?
No, they're record people.
Record people.
They're
just
record
that's
people.
What I said.
Yeah, and a little tip: when you're always leave a little note on the condition. I find that helps, especially if it's borderline. If it's close to near mint, you can, you know, it's worth putting that little bit of text in there, and it shows
completely.
You've taken the time. And you've actually, they know that you've inspected the item. You do get a few weirdos on there, what I call tire kickers, who they always ask for photos and then they never buy it. I find it really odd. Can you send me a picture of this item? And I think, ugh.
Do you know what I do? I've got a clever technique.
Go on.
I ignore them.
Oh.
And you know what, Paul? They don't like it.
Right.
They don't like it at all. That if I found it works for me.
I had a guy the other week, he said, oh, thank you so much for the photos, but it's way out of my price range. I'm thinking, was he going to use those to then try and use those photos to scam someone on eBay?
Ooh.
Why would you want photos of an item you can't afford?
Or just hardcore fans of the band who have found that the photos online that they can find of this item are pretty crap.
Oh, it could be.
And they want, they're putting together their personal archive of high quality images.
Or
that's what I've thought sometimes.
Have you had anyone ask you, can you send me the WAV files?
No.
No, you must have. Yeah, it happens all the time, especially what, rare stuff.
For free.
Yeah, for free. Can you record this for me and send me the .wav files?
What, have you really had that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've said
no.
Oh.
No, I've just ignored them. Why would I be...
And they haven't sort of said, oh, I'll PayPal you a fiver or something.
No. I don't think... I just... Because it would take... It's such a, like, laborious process.
Yeah, it's work to do it properly.
Yeah. There was no chance. Yeah. So, yeah, so I don't... I'm not... Do you think that answers Simon's question?
No, I don't think so.
Don't think it does, because it really does depend on what it is you're trying to achieve, but hopefully it gives you a rough idea of where we stand on eBay versus Discogs.
Because you could break it down to, if you're a seller, then eBay's better because you, in theory, can actually get more money. Discogs is better because it's so easy,
yeah,
and because it's so geared towards what you want to do, which is sell the records.
If you're selling one record a month...
So both are better. If you're a seller, both are better. If you're a buyer, on eBay you can find weird stuff. And if it's been badly listed, which we hadn't talked about actually, you can find... If you're a bit of a searching ninja on eBay and you can uncover stuff that's been really poorly described and take a punt on it, you may get something good for $1.99 plus postage, which you're not going to get really on Discogs. And yet Discogs, it's so well organised and easy. Again, I think ultimately there's not much in it.
Yeah, I have a search set up for Depeche Mode vocals that have been wrongly listed, and those are the search terms I have.
Oh yes, Depeche Mode Vonil.
Vonil, Vintel, Binil, Vinyl with two L's, Vinyl.
Wait, you haven't got vinyl spelled V-Y-N-A-L.
Oh, I think I have. You can't see the whole list. I don't know how to let it see all of them, but it is, and they pop up all the time.
Depeche Mob's Vinyl.
You've got it. I think a lot of people are onto that trick though, because they still end up selling for...
Well, didn't eBay about maybe 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, basically several years ago now, I haven't done my research. I think they changed their algorithm so that when you search for something, it would bring up results around that thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think that suddenly killed the whole concept of looking for idiotic, misdescribed items.
Well, that brings us nicely onto our next little segment, Tim, which is bootlegs.
Bootlegs.
So Discogs have sort of banned bootlegs. Now, can you work out the methodology or the process that they have used or the test that they are doing to work out whether something is or isn't allowed for sale? Because it looks completely random to me.
Well, there are so many bootlegs on there that it can't have been a human, can it, going through and yessing or knowing, can it? Because it's millions of items.
That's why they suddenly, one day they're there, one day they're not. They must be laboriously going through it all. I mean, Depeche Mode is a case in point because they have tons of bootlegs, thousands of them. And some are, and some aren't. Like, what typically happens is, and a little tippy, if you get in quickly, if you regularly search for your favourite band with the words not on label, you will see, and then order them by date, and the ones at the top, typically they'll hang around from anything from 2 weeks to 2 to 3 months, and you can buy them on Discogs from wherever they've come from, usually Luxembourg or somewhere, for, you know, 25 quid. You can get really nice, fancy live albums. And then they'll suddenly be banned. So you get a small window to grab them.
So we've talked in the past, not on the podcast. We do have conversations, don't we, outside of the... And it seems pointless, but we do have conversations outside of the podcast about why this might be.
Yes.
What's your theory?
I think that they are shaping the business up, making it legally compliant across the board in preparation for sale. They want someone to come in. It's a nice little learn. If you think about it, it's just a website with their help desk. On the odd occasion you do contact them, it takes like 3 days to get a reply. They're not exactly overstaffed.
It's after the costs of maintaining the server, you know, and the website. It's almost free money for them.
And 8%.
Because it's user... I don't know if people aren't always aware of this, but all of the information on Discogs is supplied by its users.
Yep.
It's free money.
It is. It's a genius business model. And that 8%, there must be, there's some decent revenues there. And all of that data that the users have contributed has a value. You've got this huge database and archive of information about records and music that has a value. The trading side has a value. I wouldn't be surprised if eBay or Amazon or someone of that ilk came in and bought the business. But I think that's what they're prepping for.
Yeah, I mean, it beats out any book that you could find on valuing records and on databases of records, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much...
No book could exist that is better than the information that's within Discogs.
Where do you stand on bootlegs, by the way?
I think they're fun and different, and obviously it's a chance to get stuff on vinyl that otherwise wouldn't be on vinyl. I mean, I would draw a massive distinction between bootlegs, as in a clone of a pre-existing item,
mm-hmm.
versus rare stuff that someone has pressed up onto a record or CD. To me, they couldn't be more different. I suppose the only way that the former is like the latter is if it's a replica of an impossible to find item.
Yeah, that's fair enough. The only time, I mean, I love them. I've got loads of remix bootlegs. I've got loads of live bootlegs. As long as they're not audience recordings, not a fan of those. They're fine as an MP3. Great, but to press them on vinyl, I find is just ridiculous. You know,
because to be honest, I haven't really got many. For whatever reason, I've just got a handful of bootlegs in my collection. Literally, just two or three, I think.
Oh no, dozens. But what I object to, and I've seen this at retail. There was a shop in Kings Lynn. He had things like Blur, Oasis. I can't remember.
Nick Cave.
Yeah, I think so. It was sought after 90s albums. They were Russian or Czech copies, and they look real. And you had to closely inspect them to work out that they weren't real. But he was presenting them as if they were the real thing, and they were priced just under. So you thought you were getting one over on the seller. They weren't a tenner.
So I'd say 35 quid, 45
exactly,
quid.
Yes. So you're thinking, oh, I wonder how long that's been there, because that's worth a bit more than that now. And unsuspecting punters are handing over money for what is effectively a really ropey. If you look closely at the printing and the artwork, you can see that they're fake.
And I guess he would give it the big sell of saying, oh, yeah, that's a rare record, that. Well done,
I'm
getting that.
I don't think he would. I can't remember. It didn't say original pressing, but it was just the way they
well,
at
those prices, that's the implication.
Yeah, exactly. It was implied.
And then someone gets excited and buys it, and he sells it, and then they leave the shop, and he goes into the back and pulls out another copy.
Yeah. To be fair, most people, I guess, probably won't even realise what's happened. But yeah, that's pretty underhand.
I just think if that's done knowingly, it's strong, but to me it's unforgivable. I think it's such a shit thing to do.
The only reason I mentioned it
as a record seller, yeah, it just hurts the world of buying and selling
you
records.
You had one of the items that you had, which you have in your shop at the moment, which is a bootleg, which is labelled as a bootleg, Stone Roses album
on coloured vinyl.
Coloured vinyl for 15 quid.
14 quid.
14 quid, which is, do you know what? That's a really good deal. If you haven't got the album, it's marked, it's not real. No, I have no issue with that whatsoever, because it's hard to find. It's clearly a bootleg, it's marked as such. But if you were to pass that off at £65
and
on the wall, with the featured section. Yeah. Yeah, that would be it's not good, is it?
So presumably there were fisticuffs.
There were. We just didn't buy anything. I mean, the guy was trying to sell Catherine a load of Madonna picture discs that were clearly bootlegs as well. He was just, it was not a good experience.
But again, priced as if they weren't bootlegs.
A little bit under, Tim. A little bit under. That's the key. You've got to reel them in.
Well, I think now you have got some news on the bootleg front, haven't you?
So, Counterfeit Crackdown, as vinyl revival rekindles the bootlegging team.
I bet it does.
From the British music industry. And they've seized 87,000 fake records worth £1.7 million in the last 3 years.
Wow.
Yep, the revival of the vinyl record has sparked a new form of bootlegging and a music industry crackdown in which 87,000 counterfeit records have been seized. The fakes, sold on websites such as eBay and Amazon, were recovered by a team working with the BPI, the UK trade body. The BPI said it had confiscated 14,000 items with a market value of roughly 200 grand this year alone, as the problem continues to grow.
Wow.
And then it talks about a case here which I had heard before. There were some guys, I think they were...
Were they doing Northern Soul singles?
They were doing Northern Soul singles, yeah. It says here...
I think one of them actually went to prison.
They did. They got sent down. Yeah. An original London American Recordings copy of Northern Soul classic Open the Door to Your Heart by Daryl Banks was unearthed in 2014 and sold for £11,000. These guys in Wales were having them knocked up in a factory in the Czech Republic and passing them off as real. They got sent down. They actually got sent to prison for bootlegging.
I mean, it's willful fraud, isn't
it?
Yeah,
I guess so. It's because they're trying to pass it off as something it's not. They're not selling you a bootleg.
Because if it was a counterfeit Gucci bag, it would feel more obvious that they should be punished for that. It somehow seems that knocking off a record and selling it to fans somehow seems like part of the scene. That's part of, like, bootlegs are part of what we do as record fans and stuff.
Well, Tim, as Dave Garn once said...
What did Dave Garn say?
If you ain't being bootlegged, you ain't happening, man. So, Tim, shop of the week this week is not a shop.
Oh, should we move on to something else then?
No, it's based in Hastings, a town you may be familiar with.
I know it.
And you could technically say, is your main competition? Would you say competition or not really? Just to show that how unbiased this show is, shop of the week is in Hastings and it's not your shop, Tim. It's run by a very nice chap. It's kind of like an office come warehouse full of mainly techno and dance, but there is quite a lot of other stuff.
Is there beard music?
There is some beard music, yes. I mean, what you have to do, if you Google Japhy, J-A-P-H-Y, you'll see it's come up with his shop, and then you'll see his Discogs listing and you can see what he has available. You then make an appointment, because not everything he has in there is listed. So you don't just turn up. You need to contact him in advance, make an appointment, and then you can go digging in his warehouse.
As far as you know, is this his main job?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. He sells a lot of new techno, like very specialist. He has DJs come in from all over the world to visit him and make an appointment. You know, he's a very serious player within the techno scene. But he does have other stuff. I had an appointment. He gave me a last-minute appointment a couple of weeks ago. I found a really sought-after fad gadget, 12-inch at Mute, put out in 2001 with some remixes on, which I've been after for ages. He had the first-ever Gold Frap 12-inch. He had tons of Mute promos in there, all from the same person who had never played any of them. One of the Gold Frap albums from the 90s or the 2000s that I was missing, original pressing, mint, and prices. Because you're buying direct, you can get a deal.
Wow.
Yeah, really, really, absolutely. If you are local, or even if you're not, if you have a look and the stuff there you think you might like, or you just want to go and have a dig, then yeah.
So it's just Japhy on Discogs?
Yeah, or just Google Japhy and it'll come up with his direct link to his shop, and you'll also see a link to his Discogs page, and you are good to go. Yeah, absolutely worthwhile. I've been four times, I think, and each time I've come away with a proper stack of records.
Should I go?
You should. I can't believe you haven't.
Well, perhaps I'll go and I'll report back. If we can eventually turn all of the elements of our lives into just fodder for the podcast, that would be perfect. Paul.
Yes, Tim.
I recently found in amongst a box of ephemera a copy of Record Hunter from 1993.
Record Hunter. I've never heard of that.
Well, I haven't done any research on it because I couldn't be bothered, but I think it may have been a rival to Record Collector, which was then folded into Vox magazine, which was a rival to Select magazine,
right,
in the early 90s. And I think it became a kind of pull-out supplement or the middle pages of Vox. And then I think it just stopped doing that. Anyway, I thought it would be fun to turn my discovery of this tatty 1993 magazine into a segment.
Right.
So like Record Collector, a lot of the meat of the magazine was talking about buying records and what and it was giving you handy information about records are worth.
Yeah, I used to buy Record Collectors. Can we just say, I know before we did the first episode and stuff, we got a load of old Record Collectors and we were doing some research. If anyone knows, or any of the listeners knows anyone who worked on Record Collector, or you're aware of, how did they come up with their prices? Because, and I genuinely hope this isn't true, but it does kind of look like they were making them up.
Paul, you can't say that.
I'm genuinely curious, because once you've eliminated all the other ways of doing it, you're kind of left with the obvious one, which is they were pulling our legs and making these values up. Because when we looked through some then and nows, and they were pretty funny.
Well, that's what we're going to do now.
Oh, beautiful.
So, Paul, I have found 8 items mentioned and valued in this 1993 issue of Record Hunter.
Right.
All I want from you,
yep,
is to know if the value has since gone up or down.
Right.
So I'm going to give you the item, the price, and that price in today's money, accounting for inflation.
Okay.
And you've got to tell me if its value now, according to Discogs and PopSyche, which aggregates eBay sales,
yep,
if you think that it's now worth more or less,
okay,
than 1993 Record Hunter reckoned. It's a niche segment.
It's a niche segment.
So let's start with Joy Division.
Okay.
Transmission 7-inch, first press from 1979. So in 1993... Record Hunter magazine valued it at £3.50.
Right.
Or £7 in today's money.
Adjusted for inflation.
So now would you think it's worth more than or less than £7?
That is worth more than £7.
Correct. These days, a lovely copy in really good condition will set you back around £20 or more.
Okay.
So that's one correct. Let's see how you do with this one. Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Released an E.T. box set in 1982, where I think he reads the story and there's some music and a picture disc and a booklet and stuff in a box. After about 2 days, it was withdrawn from sale because there was a rights fuck-up.
Okay.
In 1993, this magazine valued the box set at £750.
Right.
Adjusted for inflation is £1,500.
Okay.
Do you think it's since gone up or down?
I'm going to say, due to some recent difficulties, that price has plummeted.
Well, I can tell you, you're right again. That's two for two. But it hasn't plummeted due to recent issues.
Oh, okay.
I think it plummeted a long time ago. Basically, once the internet allowed people to see what things are worth,
it plummeted.
The selling price now, according to Discogs and PopSyche, 50 to 100 quid.
Whoa, that's some drop off, isn't it?
So can you imagine if genuinely someone at a record fair in the early 90s may have been, you know, had their wallet emptied to the tune of 750, because this is what they said that it's worth. It's worth 750.
But who said that? Record Hunter.
It was Record
Hunter. And where
did
Record Hunter get their prices from? They got them out of Record Collector. And where did Record Collector get their prices from? Down the pub.
Well, So here's a little add-on to the Jackson thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is, in fact, a Michael Jackson / E.T. item that really does have a crazy high value even to this day. And this is an American promo-only 7-inch to promote that box set.
Right.
Which features Jackson doing a song called Someone in the Dark, which goes for £500 to £1,000 today.
Blimey.
Makes you think.
It does, doesn't it?
Let's move on. Kate Bush.
Ah, right, yes.
The Kick Inside picture disc.
Right.
From 1979, housed in the regular sleeve, but the disc is a picture disc.
Okay.
In 93, it was valued at £50, which is £100 today. Has it gone up or down?
You see, 79, there was a lot of those, I imagine.
Probably quite a few.
So I'm going to say it's gone down.
It's held its value.
Ah, okay.
Or gone up by a tiny bit. It's still worth about £100.
Okay. So it's washed its face.
I hate that expression, but it has washed its face. So that you're on two for three at the moment.
Yeah, but you said, has it gone up or down? Same wasn't an option.
That's a technicality. How about Erasure?
Right, yes.
Right, back on familiar ground
yes.
now. Their limited edition yellow brick mix of Heavenly Action on 12-inch release in 85 was valued in 1993 at £110.
Yes.
Which in today's money, £220.
Yes.
Do you think that's gone up or down?
Well, I know it's gone down because I remember at the time not being able to afford one because I missed it when it came out and they were going for crazy money. And I think it's now worth about 25, 30 quid.
Well done. Yeah, it's worth sort of 20 to 40 quid.
There you go.
And do you now have it?
I do.
Hey, and how much did you pay for it?
£10.
Fantastic. So you're getting back your 3 out of 4 now. Well done. Let's see if you can keep it going. Nirvana.
Mm.
A 1991 picture disc of their single Smells Like Teen Spirit was valued at £6 in 93 or £12 in today's money. Up or down?
Up.
It has gone up, but not by much.
Okay.
It will now set you back 20, 25, 30 quid.
There's 91, you're on that cusp, aren't you? There's still plenty of them being pressed.
Yeah. I mean, it's I think it was limited. Oh no, 91.
Oh no, you were still well into the vinyl disc. Sorry, yeah. No,
it's
much
because
later
it's because it's Nirvana.
Yeah,
the fact
so.
That it's got any value still is because it's Nirvana. Young people still like Nirvana. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen their t-shirts.
Their t-shirts, yeah.
How about this one? Cabaret Voltaire, Paul.
Right.
They had a 1979 7-inch single called Silent Command on Rough Trade.
Mm-hmm.
In 93, it was valued at £4 or £8 in today's money. Has that gone up or down?
Do you know what? They were so prolific. They were even on Novamute for a while. I've got some of their stuff. I think it might have even gone down.
It has inched up.
Oh.
It's about a tenner.
Oh, okay.
You're slipping, but Madonna, she'll help.
Go on.
In 85, Madonna mm-hmm. released a shaped picture disc of Crazy For You. It was reissued a few years later.
Okay.
But this is the original. It's a different image. It's a more close-up photo of her. Because the other one you see more often. The other one came with a cardboard plinth.
Yep, another one you made.
So in 1993, this 12-inch... it's kind of a 7-inch...
Yeah.
Oversized, shaped 7-inch. It was valued at £60, which in today's money is £120. Has that gone up or down?
That would have gone down, Tim.
It has gone down, Paul. It's now worth 50, 60, 70 quid.
Have you noticed it's the bigger artists where the prices have gone down?
Well,
Michael Jackson's, and that's because the crazy collectors didn't have the internet to know, and then that's a real leveller. You've got real world financial dynamics in play.
Could I ask you to stop preempting my wrap-up?
Is that all right? Sorry. You can cut that bit out if you want.
No, I won't. I won't. I'm not going to, Paul. I'm going to show what a smart ass you are. I'm going to leave it in. Finally, for this quiz, REM in 83 had a 12-inch called Talk About the Passion. And in 93, 10 years later, it was valued at 15 quid, the equivalent of 30 quid today. Do you think that's gone up or down?
I think it might have gone down a little bit.
It's gone down a little bit. So today it's worth 15, 20 quid.
Are there any conclusions you can draw from this, Tim?
I'm really glad that you asked. The pattern seems to be that, and this is looking at other things in the magazine as well, everything has lost its value except that stuff which has always been and will always be genuinely incredibly rare. So super obscure prog records, things where there were five copies known to exist, or artists who were not cared about at the time and have now become superstars. So it's anything that was popular and where there are a reasonable amount of copies out there, its value has basically collapsed compared to, you know, the some of these peaks that we're seeing in the 90s. So my theory about it, which is, you know, sort of why I want to talk about it, is the democratizing power of the internet. The internet has demonstrated that the vast, vast majority of records are actually, if you do a bit of hunting, readily available.
Yes.
Right? It's no longer about dealers saying, oh, people really want this, so I'm going to push the price up. It's about real buyers and sellers saying, well, I've got this, so have a lot of other people, so I'll price it at a point that someone will go, yeah, I'll pick your copy of it. If you went to a mega fair in London with thousands of sellers, you may have found the same thing going back, but not really.
No, the internet has made life so... Well, look at that Erasure record first. I mean, there's a classic real-world example. I used to buy a record collector. I'd see it listed, and it used to really bug me that I wasn't paying that much for a 12-inch single, and then the price came... Or it's gone back up a bit, but it did drop to a tenner. Because that's what I paid for it, and I picked it up online for £10.
Well, that's it. So we're finding that the internet, you know, levelled off all the prices, but now record collecting fandom has, since the internet came of age, has now spiked again. So yeah, things are creeping up again. So
yeah.
It's a weird one, and I wonder, you know, if we'd done this test a few years ago, some things may have been worth more than they were, some things less, but it's still shifting and we don't know where it's really going. But I think in general, if something isn't stupidly rare, what you might have paid for it at a fair 25, 30 years ago, you know, you're not going to see that money back
anytime soon. So last episode, Tim, we asked people to send us in their most sought after item.
We
went through some of them last time, but rather than just read out the items.
And how can they get in touch with us, by the way?
They can go to the Twitters, and we are at We Buy Records Pod.
Thanks very much.
So people got in touch and told us what their most sought after item, what they're running around charity shops and record shops, crate digging, what it is they really want to find. And then I attached average selling prices and current selling prices to them as well. So the Thriftonaut is after Residents, Meet the Residents. Average selling price, £288. Can't find a single copy anywhere for sale. So yeah, wow. good luck with that. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, they're a sort of avant-garde pop deconstructionalist band where they'll kind of willfully, you know, they were doing kind of like sort of mash-up nasty parody pop from before anybody else was doing it.
We have got Mark Turnbull here. Alternative TV, The Image. This is not particularly... These are ones, I love these ones, because rather than going for crazy expensive items, quite a lot of our listeners have very modest requirements. So this particular record, average selling price is £15. You can get a VG Plus copy for £30, which is not the end of the world, is it?
I do sometimes think, what's that disparity where they tend to sell for X amount, but the only ones you can find now are twice that? Because there's actually a fair few of those on this list.
Well, I want to talk to you about the next one, because maybe I'm going mad, but Vince Williams is after Mike Oldfield Platinum, which I believe has a track on it. There's one variant which has a track called Sally. Yes. Now, according to this, the average selling price is only £9, but the one for sale is £173. So what's going on there?
Yeah, I don't quite understand it either. Isn't it something even... It's you know, even like it's about like the Matrix run out or something will tell you. It's a very particular variant, and I don't know. We've actually got a copy of Platinum in the shop that I run with my partner, in the bargain box for £2 or three for a fiver.
Does it have the track Sally on it?
I haven't actually checked, and I keep forgetting. I seriously keep forgetting to check. So I'm going to try and check this week, and it may be Vince Williams' lucky day.
Could be. This is my favourite one, actually. Dave Amitri, he's after Tears for Fears, Songs from the Big Chair, which I know you can buy for a fiver all day long.
Well, but again, if you look on eBay, they're now starting to sell for more like £15.
Oh, really? Because I often see that at boot fairs. And I've already got...
Pick it up.
Oh, okay.
It's a weird one. Tears for Fears, they're hot right now. Young people want them.
But what if you... I know the next name on this list.
Mr. Dave Valentine.
Friend of the show?
Close personal friend of the show. He is after Peter Wingard's self-titled album, Peter Wingard. Now, do you know who Peter Wingard is?
No.
He played Jason King in a 60s TV show, you know, like The Saint and, you know, those kind of spy-y, debonair,
yep,
dashing type people.
Like Men from U.N.C.L.E. type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I think his career was ended with, I think, a series of cottaging incidents.
Oh.
This kind of thing. He's a very well-dressed, dashing chap. I think he might be a bit of a cad. And he did an album, which is very weird and very creepy. And I don't invite listeners to Google the album, but it has a song on there which is mind-bendingly wrong.
Inappropriate?
Yeah.
Mm.
But I'm not going to talk about it, and I don't invite you to Google it because I wouldn't want to bring that into your life if you don't already know about it.
Carry on private browsing.
So yeah, so Dave would quite fancy this rare album by Peter Wingard. Its median value that it goes for is £77, but as once again, like what we've just talked about, at the moment, if you wanted to go and buy it right now, you're going to pay about £170.
Gouch.
So good luck with that, Dave.
Ben Collins is after a 12-inch single. Always a big fan of anyone looking for a 12-inch single. And he is after Flowered Up, Weekender. And that I bought on Kasingle for 20 pence, I think it was, a couple of weeks ago, which does have this really long, like 14 minutes, whatever it is, version. 12-inch will... Average selling price, £16.50. You can pick one up at the moment for £14. But you've got half a chance of finding one of those out and about for cheap.
I would have thought so. I like to call that the poor man's fool's gold.
Ooh.
That's what I like to call that one. Apologies to all of the fans of Weekend. I just think it hasn't aged as well as Fool's Gold has aged. But I can see why it's a cult baggy classic. But for me, I would choose Stone Roses every time. Vinyl Car Booty,
friend of the show,
is after the album Older by George Michael. That can't be worth much, can it?
I wouldn't have thought so.
George Michael records, probably what, maybe £5, £10?
£10.
Yeah. So that's fine. Yep. I'll just check what your notes say. So the median price is £466. At the moment, someone is offering one for sale at £492. I'm guessing this is a case of 90s vinyl album syndrome.
Yep, absolutely.
So the CD is worth...
50p or a pound? Yeah.
I was going to say a pound, but yeah, my God. This is something we probably should talk about at some point, which is actually the fucking stupid ludicrousness of this disparity between CDs and vinyl pressings in the 90s.
Crazy. Steve Carr, he is after Lemon Jelly Lost Horizons.
Oh, I've got that.
Ah, well, you'll be pleased
Not
to know
sale.
That it goes for £115. So, yeah, and there are copies for sale at that. At that level. And funnily enough, that album is talked about on what the We Made This sister show, Pick a Disc. So if you're interested in that album, do go and look for Pick a Disc, and you can listen to the guys talk about Lemon Jelly's Lost Horizons.
See, I had no idea it was worth that much. Because that's more recent. That's sort of early noughties, isn't it? Early mid-noughties. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we got it for sort of $12.99 when it came out.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Steve Gray, who I happen to know, found a copy of that George Michael album we just mentioned in a charity shop as well. He's really good. He has really good charity shops he goes to around South East London. So, yeah.
See, is this because he works at it rather than just being lucky?
I just think he, just because he's out and about for work, his work involves him travelling around to various properties. He does, I think he does marble restoration. We give you a plug, Steve, if I can't remember the name of your company, though.
If your interests include vinyl records and marble restoration.
Yes.
Definitely Steve.
Well, he's after, this must be the first pressing of their first release, Motorhead. Now, average...
From 1977, I think.
The average selling price is £462. There is one copy for sale, I believe, and that will set you back £1,600. Now, I would never have guessed that.
No, if you saw that, that is the classic one, black cover with just a big kind of scary rock sort of face.
Yeah, I've
thing.
Seen the. I remember doing the research for this. I remember seeing the picture of it. I mean, I'll keep an eye out.
It's a familiar image, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there were. So yeah. So I double checked this because it's such a high figure. There were only 600 copies pressed of that album for its first press, with I think silver print on the sleeve. 600 copies.
Yeah, and they're now, is it?
Well, they are one of, if not the, they're definitely in the top five sort of rock bands of all time, heavy rock bands, right? Motorhead, 600 copies.
Yeah.
I'm almost surprised it's not worth more than that, actually, given what a key band they are on that scene. If you really want a copy of that and there's 600 to go around, I can see that going up and up and up in value, to be honest.
Yeah, because as time goes by, the copies get lost, damaged through time, yeah.
So what else have we got here? Twinkle Toes Tracy.
Now, this is a very modest selection, I have to say.
It's
absolutely brilliant.
So Twinkle Toes Tracy really wants a copy of the Dave Clark 5 single Red Balloon, which will set you back an eye-watering £2.46. Good luck.
Yes, if I find a copy, I'm going to post it to you. I can promise you that. Prawn Cufflinks is, again, another 7-inch, very modest. The status quo, Are You Growing Tired of My Love, which goes for £8. You can pick one up for a tenner. Nicola Jackson is after Hey Ma by James. Average selling price, £52. None for sale. Couldn't find any... record of one for sale anywhere. Then we have Catherine and Rachel, who are both after Gold Rap albums. So Catherine is after Supernature, which they will set you back £100, just about. And Rachel is after Black Cherry, which, again, average selling price £63. There's one for sale for £79. It's still quite a lot.
So this is because Gold Frap fans were buying the CDs, 12 inches or the CDs, but
and
not...
the 12 inches. Well, you see, Gold Frap are still an album band, although again.
But then, why are they worth so much? If they're because they're noughties, right? They're not a 90s act.
I don't. It's a strange one because I did buy quite a lot of Gold Frap 12 inches, but then the albums I did mainly have on CD. So yeah, it's a strange one because the 12 inches were very dancey. They're all remixes. But yeah, it is. I don't know.
Well, should we do one more for today?
Yes.
And I'm sure more will trickle in as well. Dan Dyer, friend of the show, friend of the shop, is after Big Bang, a K-pop box set, which I think is on CD, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's vinyl. K-pop has exploded in the last 2 years. It's really mad. So when I was a bit younger, and I still am, but I was massively into J-pop in the late 90s, early noughties. J-pop never had the kind of international impact that K-pop is now enjoying. If I could have thought that the bands that I like Pizzicato 5 or Cornelius, would have had the kind, you know, would be on Graham fucking Norton. Now, so this box set that Dan is after, the median is only £119, but there have been none for sale for the last 2 years.
Yeah, a little tip. If you are a K-pop collector, you should probably head to New Malden, where most people probably don't even realise this, but the UK South Korean community, that's where they all live. The supermarkets are Korean, the restaurants are Korean, they sell records and stuff in the Korean supermarkets there. So yeah, that's a good place to head to if you are after K-pop.
Records as well as CDs.
Yeah. Don't look at me like that.
That's exciting, isn't it? If I liked K-pop, I would be there like a shark. No, I do like some K-pop. I like, what's that band?
BTS?
No.
That's the only one I know, I think.
Blackpink? Pink Black? I like them.
Anyway, Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Join us next time for more We
Buy
Records.